During the past week, I suppose about 50 children in Newton Ards learned by heart two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. These were the memory verses that we used at the Holiday Bible Club. And verses 24 and 25 were committed remarkably to memory by all of these children. It was amazing how well they grasped these verses and were able to repeat them. These are verses which, of course, give us a picture of something essential about the Christian life. One writer suggests that this picture is crucial for the original recipients of the letter, the people in Corinth. Christians in Corinth, he suggests, had become spiritually flabby. Certainly they didn't look like well-trained, disciplined athletes whose focus was on their race, and they needed to get back into shape. Here is what Christian living means then, says the apostle. It's the kind of life which can be illustrated by athletes engaged in competition and committed to running. So if that's a necessary emphasis for the people in Corinth, it's constantly a necessary emphasis right up to our own day. I think without realizing it, we can become soft and undisciplined and maybe aimless and go through the motions and yet miss the thrust of what Christian living requires. The picture itself is straightforward. It's easily grasped. It's men running in a race. The test is applying it to our own lives. And we want simply to look at these final verses of this chapter to see what they tell us about Christian living. First of all, and most obviously, we are in a race. Corinth was the center for regular athletic contests held every 3 years. They were known as the Isthmian Games. And everybody who considered himself an athlete would attend and take part. Coveted prizes were on offer to the winners, who would then, of course, be fated as heroes. And very little has changed in the world of sports. Numbers watching, of course, are far greater now because of television coverage than they were. The prizes are more valuable, undoubtedly. The fame is more widespread, but the essentials are all still in place. These Isthmian Games drew competitors from a considerable distance, from probably all over Greece. And undoubtedly the inhabitants of Corinth would have been quite familiar with the sight of athletes running around their streets, undergoing endurance training as they ran up the hill behind the city, the Acrocorinth, and in many ways preparing for the races to be held in the games. And many of you will probably know that for the past week, every serious athlete in the world has been in Berlin, where the World Athletic Championships have been held. Like the Isthmian Games, they're held regularly. And the image Paul uses here is therefore one familiar to us today as it was to readers in Corinth. So why does he use this particular picture? Why use the picture of athletics and running and games? Because it illustrates the way the Christian is to live in the world. Sometimes, of course, the Christian life is described as walking. Some of our Psalms have used the verb to walk. We walk in paths of righteousness. Christians were known as people of the way. They were walking in that way which leads to life eternal. To walk is a good description of Christian living. It tells us a great deal. It says we're going in a certain direction. We're on a narrow way. Progress is to be made. Life is one of continual change called sanctification and growth. You can never reach the stage where you say, I've made it. There is always more ahead. You can't say there's no more progress, no more skills to develop, nothing remains to be learned, no more sin is to be dealt with. We are walking, and therefore to make progress. But here Paul speaks of the Christian life as a race and of running. Remember, this is what you're doing. When you came to believe in the Lord Jesus and you committed your life to him, you began that race. Now you are running. Life for you is not wandering or floating or drifting. It's running. There is a race and you have entered it. And the race will only end when the finish line in heaven is crossed. So this is a very simple picture, but we need to keep it in mind. What does it mean to live in this world as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? It means to keep on running the race which, by God's mercy, we have entered. Do we think of ourselves in this way? Do we think of ourselves with this biblical perspective? Here is what life is for you. It's a race. Maybe it's a long time since some of us did any running. That's in the distant past, and it's so long ago it's hard to remember what it felt like. But here's a race which is continuous. We are in a race. Secondly, says Paul, we are running to win. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Running, of course, has become very popular. There's hardly a day you don't see someone out running. It's a common sight. No one bats an eyelid anymore if they see people jogging past down the road. Most people doing that are out to keep fit. It's a good form of exercise. But as well as that there are, of course, organized athletic events. There's the marathon and the half marathon. And alongside them is what is called the fun run. This is for people who aren't all that serious about it. They're not as serious, certainly, as the people who've entered the main event. No one in the fun run is very concerned about the prize. In fact, there probably isn't a prize for the fun run. It's just a bit of enjoyment. It's a kind of casual stroll. Maybe those in it haven't given themselves too much effort in training. They just want to be there to be along with their friends. But Paul says, as a Christian, you are running to win. There is nothing in your running about the fun run. This is not casual. This is not a gentle jog. This is a committed act of running. Run in such a way as the winner of the Isthmian Games ran his race. Only one wins the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Imagine you look back on a video recording of the race. And the camera picks out the man who ultimately won the race. And it follows him from the start through the race till he crosses the finish line and steps onto the podium and has the medal placed around his neck. What can you say about him? Because Paul says, you must run in the way he ran. Run like the man who won the prize. Now, there are, of course, differences, profound differences between the athlete taking part in the games and the Christian running his race. The sphere of the running is different. The athlete is in a physical sphere. The Christian is in a spiritual sphere. The prize is different. Paul says they do it to get a crown that will not last. These men are intent on winning this trophy, but actually the trophy is made out of pine wood or possibly laurel leaves, and it's put on his head, but in a matter of time, this trophy, this prize, this crown will wither and fade. It's not going to last terribly long. Athletes today run for a prize that seems to be more permanent, a gold medal, fame, maybe a world record. But these things aren't permanent either. And one day it won't really matter whether a man has won a gold medal or held a record or his name is known to millions. But the prize the Christian is running for is permanent. It will never perish. That's what you're running for, says Paul. And throughout the New Testament, the same image appears time and time again. For example, James. He speaks of the crown of life. Paul himself says, I have finished the race. The same imagery. I have finished the race. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Peter says, you will receive a crown of glory. This is what waits for you at the end of your race. The never-ending blessing of God. The joy unspeakable of which we've been singing. Life in all its glory and fullness. The greatest blessing man can know. Philippians 3, Paul calls it again the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there are differences between the athlete in the games and the Christian running his race. There's a difference in the sphere, one's spiritual and one's physical. There's a difference in the prize, one's temporary and one's eternal. And there's another difference. Because in the games, only one man steps onto the podium and receives the crown, the prize. But every Christian who runs this race receives the prize. There is laid up for us the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. There are differences. And yet, of course, the emphasis here is on the similarities. Run the way the winner runs. That's how you're to run. Run the way the winner runs. How does he run? How did he run? Well, he certainly didn't wander off the track. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. If the athletes line up for the start of the race. And then one of them runs off to the side, crosses the lanes, moves into the centre, turns back, runs towards the crowd. He's guaranteed to end up last. And he will be ridiculed. This is absurd. Paul says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't approach the Christian life in a casual, confused, indeterminate way. One writer asks this question. Are we guilty of approaching Christian living in a manner that we would scorn and ridicule in other walks of life? Are we perhaps not nearly as serious about Christian living as we are about other endeavors? Run the way the winner runs. He isn't ever aimless. He knows why he's in the race. And run the way the winner does, because he doesn't give up. He keeps going right to the tip. Good athletes are always told to do that. When you're at school, that's what the teacher always said. When you're in the race, don't stop running until you've crossed the line. Don't stop running until you've gone through the tape. Keep on. Last week, in the heats of the 5,000 metres, one of the entrants was an Ethiopian runner. A good runner. But near the beginning of the race, he got bumped and knocked over, and one of his shoes came off. And there he was, lying by the side of the track without one of his shoes. Meanwhile, all the other runners went on. He picked himself up, he put on his shoe, and he started after them. And he ran his heart out. And he ran and ran. And they were, of course, by this stage far away ahead of him. He never caught them up. But as he crossed the line, the commentator said, listen to the crowd in the stadium. And they were cheering him and applauding him. He had persevered to the very end, in spite of the fact that obviously he was never going to win. But there is, isn't there, a need of endurance. The writer to the Hebrews says, run with endurance the race before you, looking unto Jesus. As one commentator says, if people looked at us, what impression would they get of the importance of the gospel for us? If we had been bumped and one of our shoes came off and we had such a setback, would we keep on? Would people have to say it's obvious that this is all important for him? That following the Lord Jesus Christ is for him the great and wonderful purpose of life. We are in a race. We are running to win. And the prize is a glorious one. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And finally, let's notice that we need to be disciplined. Athletes need to be disciplined. They keep a tight rein on themselves. They watch their diet. They make sure they get enough sleep. And Paul says, that's how you're to be. And that's how I'm to be. I beat my body and make it my slave because I do not want to lose out, to end up losing. What does it mean to discipline the body? This is what he's talking about. What does it mean to discipline the body? He's speaking about the physical body. What does it mean to discipline ourselves physically? I treat my body in a particular way, the apostle says, and I do that because the issues are so serious. Is this kind of discipline perhaps a neglected area of Christian living? Have we forgotten that exercising discipline over ourselves is crucial in the pursuit of holiness? I've just finished reading again a great little book called The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. On the cover there's a photograph, as you might imagine, of an athlete in full flight. And then below is the text, "Run in such a way as to get the prize." And in the book, Jerry Bridges has one chapter devoted to the discipline of the body. I've drawn from that chapter this evening. And if this is a book that you haven't ever read, I heartily recommend it. It's regarded as one of the modern classics of Christian literature. 1936, another writer called Howard Guinness produced another famous little book, which at that time and for many years afterwards was also a classic on the same theme. The copy I have was printed in 1961. Between 1936 and 1961, it went through numerous reprints. It was very, very influential and very, very popular. Its title, Sacrifice. If you wanted to write a book that would be a bestseller, is that what you'd call it? Sacrifice. Discipline. Sacrifice. Have they slipped out of the Christian's vocabulary and consciousness? We live in a culture where those ideas are certainly pushed into the background. We live in a culture of pampering self and of indulging self. About 30 years ago, this is just a secular book, but I find it profoundly arresting. It was simply called The Cult of Softness. And these writers were, it was written by two men, they were exposing the way in which modern men pamper themselves and indulge themselves. And the whole idea of anything that would be demanding is set to one side. Paul says, I beat my body. I discipline myself physically because I am in a race at the end of which is this glorious and marvelous prize, and I do not want to fail to reach the prize. And whatever else you say about his statement, it is certainly emphasizing the seriousness and the earnestness of Christian living. But maybe some people are concerned and they say, well, this is very direct language. Actually, in verse 27, the verb used here literally means, I give myself a black eye. I beat my body. He's obviously not suggesting that we do attack ourselves physically. It's a picture of discipline, of disciplining ourselves. And we are to do that. And maybe some people ask, but does this not sound a bit like self-effort? And we know we'll never become holy by self-effort. We know it's only God's power and grace in Christ that will make us holy men and women. That's true. But the apostle says, I discipline myself physically. I discipline my body. I am not casual in the way I live my life. Charles Hodge says, this is an exhortation to self-denial and exertion. How much of that do we really know? Discipline was a recognized part of the life of the athlete taking part in these Isthmian games. Every entrant for the races had to swear that he had been training for at least 10 months, that he wouldn't violate the regulations. He was to live on a very strict diet. He was to keep away from, this is what he is to keep away from, wine and pleasant food. I don't know what the pleasant food was, but you can reach your own conclusion. He endured strict discipline. But Paul says if he did that just to win a garland that was going to fade in a fortnight, what will you do since you're going to get a prize that will last forever, an eternal crown? Jerry Bridges says we have to learn to say no to our body instead of continually giving in to its momentary desires. If we cannot say no to our indulgent appetites, we will be hard-pressed to say no to lustful thoughts. And one older writer from Scotland said, they who would keep themselves pure must have their bodies in subjection. And that may require, in some cases, a holy violence. These writers to whom I've referred, Howard Guinness and Jerry Bridges, agree really as they come to the application of this truth. Gluttony and laziness, they say, were regarded by earlier Christians as a sin. Today, we often make a joke about overeating and about lying in late, instead of crying out to God in confession and repentance. The great difficulty, one says, is that we tend to act on our feelings, but the trouble is that we seldom really feel like doing what we should be. We don't feel like getting out of bed in time to spend time with God. Some of us don't get up in the morning for an adequate time of devotion with God because we don't go to bed early enough the night before. We have to take control of our bodies so that they will become our servants and not our masters. We can't imagine, of course, objections being raised. Well, you're quoting from writers who spoke a generation ago or two generations ago. This is a different day. We can imagine objections. And some may say, if we discipline ourselves in these ways, like how we eat, what time we get up at, how much TV we watch or don't watch, how much music we listen to, will we not appear very strange? Will we be out of step with everybody? Will people not get the wrong impression of what it is to live as a Christian? Paul says, that doesn't really enter the picture. I discipline my body. Because I am in this race, and at the end, there is a glorious prize that I do not want to lose. And some may say, well, if we start to make this kind of application, are we not guilty of legalism? We're making a whole lot of little rules. There's always a danger of legalism. Always. But we cannot surely use that to evade the clear teaching of the apostle. The picture of the athlete running is such a simple one. But the application to all who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is searching and inescapable. Run in such a way as to win the prize. In a disciplined, determined way, with your eye never taken off the goal, as Jesus did. Run looking unto Him. He is the author, and He is the finisher of faith. And for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame. Run in such a way as to get the prize. And the great thing about this prize is that it's always a gift. It's always given by grace. This prize is purchased for us by our Savior. It's promised to all who believe, is reserved for us. And the really searching question probably is, how deeply do we value it? Deeply enough to run and to discipline our bodies, as Paul exhorts us here to do. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Amen.